I am Izell Robinson, Minnesota inmate number 210006. Today, I want to do a piece that's very dear to me. It's titled Issue Analysis. Should unrelated, resolved, questionably unresolved, and clearly unfounded incidents be used to determine a person's future risk? This is an analysis essay prompted by my recent experience with receiving a risk assessment report from a licensed psychologist working on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Corrections. In the report, the psychologist recommended that I be deemed as the highest risk, but the support utilized in the decision mainly deals with unfounded allegations and resolved convictions from 20 years ago, having no connection with my most recent conviction from 10 years ago. So I want to start with the essay. Should unrelated, resolved, questionably unresolved, and clearly unfounded incidents be used to determine a person's future risk? The issue in evaluating the potential public risk of repeat offenders to reoffend has divided many lately, as there are arguments scrutinizing these evaluation methods by supporters of criminal justice reform. Some reporters of criminal justice reform have argued that these risk assessment evaluations lack context because it only considers the victim and police narrative as fact, and often heightens a person's risk based off old resolved convictions and alleged convictions that have been dismissed or never charged. I recently became a victim of that very thing, and it's felt very unfair, baseless, and prejudicial, as I'm feeling like justice is becoming a hopeless goal. I am a prisoner who has been convicted of a sex crime that I have vehemently denied committing at trial and through the 10 years of incarceration since my conviction. Over the years, I have taken every meaningful opportunity to plead my innocence to both the courts in Minnesota and whoever else was willing to listen. I have had acknowledgement of some wrongdoing at my trial by the courts, but I have yet to receive any positive relief from the courts. Currently, I have an application filled with my claims of innocence that's been under review at the Minnesota Attorney General's Conviction Review Unit for several months now. However, I am scheduled for supervised release from prison in October of 2022, less than 6 months away. Therefore, the Minnesota Department of Corrections had a licensed psychologist from their Risk Assessment and Community Notification Unit put together a risk assessment and report on a projection of potential risk and recidivism, along with a risk level recommendation. Minnesota assigns a risk level of 1, 2, or 3 for people leaving prison who have been convicted of a sex offense. 1 is the lowest risk, while 3 is the highest risk. Level 1 and 2 have minimal blocks on supervision, but level 3 has severe supervision conditions and are the only offenders posted on the state sex offender website, required to be on the news, neighborhood flyers, and billboards, along with extreme restrictions dealing with employment, housing, and parenting. The worst level to be recommended or assigned is a level 3, because the opportunity to successfully rehabilitate and successfully get one's life back on track is very low, due to the high probability of being returned, not for a new crime, but a technical violation that usually is a parole rule, but not an illegal activity. Sadly, the psychologist assigned to complete my report has recommended a level 3. Yet when reading the psychologist's report and risk calculations, I've noticed several issues. The psychologist gave me 5 risk points in the area of OFP violations, but those convictions are from 2001 through 2002, over 20 years ago. Plus, the violations didn't involve violence, as noted by the judge at my sentencing back then, because they dealt with me responding to emails or accepting phone calls. None of the OFP violations had anything to do with anything sexual. It wasn't a conviction with a sexual assault victim, and they have no sort of connection to the 2011 conviction that I'm currently convicted on. Therefore, I ask, how is it fair and not prejudicial to use these convictions from 20 years ago against me to determine risk, especially when there is no indicator that I have ever violated an OFP to sexually offend or violently harm anyone? Moreover, the psychologist has also highlighted a 204 incident of alleged inappropriate touching that I was charged with, but later having the charge dismissed due to the alleged victim not cooperating and stating it never happened. I had always maintained I was innocent, and a roommate who was present during the alleged incident gave a statement to police that she never seen any sort of inappropriate contact. And yes, the psychologist has noted in his report that this is an alleged incident, but fails to give a complete context. Also, the psychologist formulates a belief that whether alleged or dismissed, the crime occurred, and treats it as an attempted crime to satisfy heightening my risk level. This is highly prejudicial given the fact that this is a crime that I never have been convicted of or spent time in a court of law answering for. So the concerns are based on a hypothetical belief that I somehow committed the crime. This is highly problematic that my risk is being determined by hypotheticals and not actual facts. Furthermore, the psychologist has also highlighted two other incidents where I was listed as one of three possible suspects in crimes where reports were generated, but not formal complaints or charges. When presented with details of the reports that were generated from the two 2011 alleged incidents, I made it clear that I had no knowledge of or involvement in the incidents, and I was confused as to why I was listed as a possible suspect. Yet from 2011, when the report was generated, until the present, I have still never been identified as the perpetrator, nor have I been the subject of a formal complaint, charges, or conviction relating to any of the two alleged incidents. However, the psychologist has again treated these alleged incidents as factual crime or attempted crime to satisfy heightening my risk level. Even more alarming, the psychologist writes the report in a manipulative way to make it appear as if I was the main and only alleged suspect involved in the two incidents. The psychologist notes that these are alleged incidents, but scores me higher based off facts of violence and threats alleged to have occurred in the incidents. Once again, this is a highly prejudicial and unethical, given the fact that these are known alleged and unfounded incidents that I have never been convicted of or spent time in court answering for. So again, the concerns are based on a hypothetical belief that I somehow committed the crimes absent of any fact. Additionally, the psychologist heightens my risk by noting that I have continued to state that I am innocent of the 2011 sex crime that I was convicted of. To satisfy the reasoning, the psychologist utilizes several statements from the listed victim and police that came from the police complaint. However, I pled not guilty and went through a trial where several things in the complaint was challenged and proven not to be fact. But even though the psychologist was able to get a copy of the court transcripts to write a complete context, that was never done. Yet it's a common acknowledgement that complaints aren't an accurate source because it is a one-sided view absent of any challenge. More importantly, the psychologist failed to cite any of my appeals or the fact that I do currently have an application regarding the conviction that I'm in here for being reviewed by the Conviction Review Unit. I am being punished for exercising my right to appeal and maintaining my integrity as an innocent man. Because what would all these opinions of this report mean if my conviction was overturned? Beyond that, what I've highlighted here, there were other issues with the psychologist's report, where diagnoses from an unlicensed psychologist and the unlicensed psychologist's opinions was used throughout the report to offer support for the high-risk recommendation. And there was also some inaccurate and not up-to-date information contained in the report that also had prejudicial effect against me. The hope is that the report can be redone based off fact and accurate information to be fair and not unfair, baseless, and prejudicial. In conclusion, I am not the same man that I was when I entered prison a decade ago. Today, I'm a man more determined to live a meaningful life of purpose where I can positively impact my life along with those in my community. I have learned to reflect on and identify problematic thinking and behaviors that I have become comfortable with challenging and replacing with healthy alternatives. I am not a violent man, and I don't endorse violence in any sort of way towards others. I am not this man looking to be released from prison just to harm others. I have employment, educational, and relationship goals that I want a fair shot at pursuing. Plus, my children are a huge motivator in my life, so it's important to me that I'm available to them and not letting them down. I am passionate about caring for and supporting others through their plights, so I'm looking forward to being a man of service to others. I value the man that I am today, and I know I am not a high risk or threat to the community. I don't want to see people as victims of any crime at all. I don't think it's fair to evaluate my risk or others by questionably unresolved, and clearly unfounded incidents.
You have 1 minute remaining.
These things can't determine my risk because they don't define my motivation to continue to be a better man for myself, family, and community. Now that you are aware of my intricate battle of challenging this recommended risk level, I request that you write a letter on my behalf concerning what I've addressed in this commentary, along with any feelings or comments about the man you have perceived me to be. I need your support as I have a hearing scheduled for April 28, 2022. So please write the following people as soon as possible, and thanks for your support. The subject line you can write is concerns with Izell Robinson, number 210006, recent risk assessment recommendation being prejudicial and miscalculated. The first person on the list to write is someone named Brian Heinsohn. So his name is spelled B-R-I-A-N, then H-E-I-N-S-O-H-N, comma, M-A, comma, LPC. And on the next line, risk assessment supervisor is his title. And under risk assessment supervisor is risk assessment / community notification unit. And the address is 1450 Energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, Park, P-A-R-K, Drive, D-R-I-V-E, Suite 200, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55108. The next person on the list to write is Paul Snell. Paul is P-A-U-L, and Snell is S-C-H-N-E-L-L. Underneath that line is his title, Commissioner of Corrections. Underneath that line is Minnesota Department of Corrections. And the address is 1450 Energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, Park, P-A-R-K, Drive, D-R-I-V-E, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55108. The next person on the list is Keith Ellison. Keith is spelled K-E-I-T-H. Ellison is E-L-L-I-S-O-N. Underneath that is his title, Minnesota Attorney General. Underneath that is Office of Attorney General, State of Minnesota, address 1800 Bremer, B-R-E-M-E-R, Tower, T-O-W-E-R. Underneath that is 445 Minnesota Street, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101-2134. The next person on the list is Carrie Sperling. Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E. Sperling is S-P-E-R-L-I-N-G. Underneath that is her title, Assistant Attorney General. Underneath that is Conviction Review Unit. Underneath that is the address 455 Minnesota Street, Suite 1400, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101-2131. Next on the list is ACLU of Minnesota, and the address is P.O. Box 14720, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55414. Next on the list is Michael O. Freeman. Michael is spelled M-I-C-H-A-E-L, the letter O, a period, and then Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. Underneath Michael O. Freeman is his title, Hennepin County Attorney. Hennepin is H-E-N-N-E-P-I-N, so Hennepin County Attorney. And underneath that is the address, 2000 Court Tower. And underneath that is 300 South 6th, as S-I-X-T-H, Street. So 300 South 6th Street, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55487. Next on the list is Stacy Olson. Stacy is S-T-A-C-Y. Olson is O-L-S-O-N. Underneath that is her title, case manager, minus sign, then ECRC member. Underneath that is Minnesota Correctional Facility, a minus sign, Rush City. Rush is R-U-S-H, then city, C-I-T-Y. Underneath that is the address, 7600-525th Street, Rush City, Minnesota, 55069. Last on the list is Terrell Backes. So Terrell is T-E-R-R-E-L. Last name Backes, B-A-C-K-E-S, comma, P-S-Y dot D dot, comma, licensed psychologist is his title. And underneath licensed psychologist is risk assessment community notification unit. And underneath that is the address, 1450 Energy Park Drive, Suite 200, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55108-5219. Once again, I thank you for listening to me. I thank you for your support. I pray that you took something of value from my words that you can utilize to join others and I in the fight for healthy societal inclusion and change along with police and criminal justice reform. I believe the courage of many to take a stand will make a difference, so you and I must be brave in our pursuit to be heard and demand change we are long overdue. Once again, I can be emailed through the JPay app or website. Just insert Minnesota for state and number 210006 for ID. Or you can email, you can mail me directly, snail mail, at Izell Robinson, number 210006, 7600-525th Street, Rush City, Minnesota, 55069. Remember, all positively supportive contact is welcomed and appreciated. Thank you for listening, and thanks to Prison Radio for this much-needed platform of linking prisoners with their communities and family in a healthy way to foster needed dialogue and support.